2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin tonight a series that will take us at least through the month of January, and the series is entitled Essentials for the New Year. I mentioned Sunday that whenever you go on a journey, on a trip, even if it's just overnight, you stop and you say, okay, now what do I need to take with me? And depending on where you're going and how long you're going to be gone, well, I need to take this, and I need to take this, and I need to take that. If I don't need this in the other. Sunday, we began a new journey, the journey of 2023. And as we take this journey through this new year as God's people, there are some essentials that we need to take with us on this journey. And the things that we're going to be talking about starting tonight, you're not going to survive the journey, or you're not going to survive it well without the things that we're going to talk about. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me begin with verse 13, and let me read down through the end of the chapter. I want you to follow along, and I want you to get the backstory on this after I read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now let me give you the backstory here. The Apostle Paul is at the end of his life, and he knows it. And he makes reference to the fact in chapter 4 that he knows his life is over. If you want to know what's in the heart of a person, listen to what they have to say when they know they're about to die. When Paul finishes 2 Timothy, within weeks, maybe even within days, Paul will be led out of the Roman dungeon he's being held in. He will be taken out, and he will be executed, and he is very aware of it. So the Apostle Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, a man who he had been with for more than 20 years, who had worked beside him, who had helped him, and now, as the Apostle Paul comes to the end of his life, he wants to write Timothy one more time. He wants to make that last communication with Timothy, his not just his friend, but his son in the faith. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy a warning and an exhortation. A warning and an exhortation. Now understand this. The exhortation that Paul is giving him is based on the warning. Paul says, look, because of this, you got to do this. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Because of the warning he's about to give it, because of this, he's telling Timothy, the exhortation is, Timothy, this is absolutely essential you do because of this. So here was the warning. The warning is in verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The warning that Paul gives Timothy at the end of his life is this. He reminds Timothy that the world is filled with evil. He not only tells him that, but he tells Timothy, this isn't going to get better. This is going to get worse. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. People look at the world, they say, well, it's bad, but well, you know what? It's going to get better. Not according to this, it isn't. Not according to this, it isn't. Look what Paul said earlier in the same chapter. Look at chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Paul tells Timothy, he says, but you better know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. When I get to something you recognize, stop me. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Paul tells Timothy, listen, the world is filled with evil. And he reminds Timothy, that's the warning. Timothy, listen to me. The world is filled with evil, and it's going to get worse. Now this is just me. This is just me, because this is just how I'm put together. But I saw those two words together. Look at verse 13. Evil men and imposters. And I thought, those aren't two words that the Bible usually puts together. And so because I thought, well, that connection, that coupling is strange, so I looked at it. The word evil there is a very general word, but it is a word that is talking about the effects of wickedness. Now listen to me. We see the effects of wickedness everywhere. We have locks on our doors at home because of the effects of wickedness. Folks put bars on windows and alarms on their house because of the effects of wickedness. We lock our cars and put alarms on our cars because, listen, the effect of wickedness is just everywhere. But the second word he says, these evil people, and he says, imposters. Imposter there is swindler. Swindlers. Now listen to me. That word, swindlers, imposters, would include religious swindlers. I'm talking about, among other things, fake healers. People who parade around and promise miracles to desponding souls who are trying to find some help from anywhere. Now listen to me. Here's the transition. Paul is at the end of his life. Timothy, that was his boy. That was them. For 20 years, they're together. And Paul is dying. And Paul tells him, listen, Timothy, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this. So he reminds him of how evil the world is and how there are swindlers and imposters everywhere, including religion. That's the warning. Then Paul turns from the warning and gives him the exhortation. And the exhortation from verses 14 through verse 17 is that Paul calls Timothy back to the Bible. He calls him back to the Bible. Now, listen. Think about who he's calling back to the Bible. This is Timothy. Timothy has been a Christian for decades. The Apostle Paul picked up Timothy in Acts 16 and took him with him, and Timothy had been with teaching and helping him ever since. From Acts 16, when Paul picked him up at Lystra, until 2 Timothy is over 20 years. This guy has been a Christian for decades. This guy has been your man for over 20 years. He's been teaching and hearing you teach. And now you're telling him, because of the way of the world, there is an essential, and that essential is you need to get back to the Bible. Now, here's what that tells me. Look, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many times you've read the Bible through. I don't care how many years you've taught the Bible. I don't care how many years you have proclaimed this truth. We never, ever reach a point where we don't need to be called back to Scripture. And I'm telling you what Paul told Timothy some 2,000 years ago. The world out there is filled with evil. It's insane. The world is filled with evil, and because of the evil in the world, what we need now, more than we've ever needed it, is we need somebody to call us back to the Bible. So here's what I'm telling you. The first essential in the new year for your journey in your life is the Bible. It's the Bible. How do you keep control of the mess that we live in? You better have the Scripture with you. Now, watch what we're going to do here. This is a gold mine of application. Look at verse 15. I want everybody to look at verse 15. Paul tells him, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 15, Paul says five things about the Bible. in that one verse. Paul says five things about the Bible. The essential for the new year is to get back to the Bible. And getting back to the Bible, you get note of these five things. Number one, Paul talks to Timothy and to us about the simplicity of the Bible. The simplicity of it. Look what he says. And that from childhood you have known. From childhood you've known. Listen to me, and I'm going to make a couple of applications to this, but listen to me. There is a great deal about the Bible that even a child can understand. A great deal about the Bible that even a child can understand. Now, I was raised in a home that was old school. My mother was 44, almost 45 when she gave birth to me. And my father was 59, almost 60 when I arrived. My mother was the principal of the old school. My mother used to whip me for exercise. Listen, every Saturday of my life, right down on the Lower East Side, 1233 Ingle Avenue, my mother used to stop me. She used to put me on that brown couch, and we go through Sunday school lesson. We go through Sunday school lesson. I was in a Sunday school class. I couldn't have been more than 7 years old. I couldn't have been more than 7 years at the oldest. And I had a teacher, Sister Pat Howell. God bless her. And she had a scroll, just like in ancient time, a scroll. But on that scroll was the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and verses that went with it was on that scroll. And as a child, I sit in that Sunday school class, and that dear soul taught that class and me the plan of salvation with that scroll. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and verses that went through every one of them. Listen to me. There's a lot that a child can understand. And here's the deal. What you teach a child, they'll never forget it. They don't ever forget it. Now, here's the other application I want to make. It doesn't matter if you're 12, if you're 22, or if you're 62, or 102, whenever you come to Christ, you're a babe. You're a babe. But there are things that you can know and things you can understand. The first thing Paul tells us about the Bible, he talks about its simplicity. He says, Timothy, you've known some of this from your childhood. Now, what is incredible is Timothy's situation. Timothy's mother was a Jew. Timothy's father was a Greek. Here is a Jew married to a Gentile. No, but yeah. So in Acts 16, Paul comes there And because of the phrasing of the word about Timothy's father, at that point, Timothy's Gentile father was already dead. So Timothy is being raised as a single parent. He's being raised by his mother and by his grandmother. And the Apostle Paul comes to Lystra. That's where Timothy lived. That's where Timothy was raised. Listen to me. Lystra was a hellhole. Lystra was an ungodly place. But here is a single mother, and here is a grandmother who is instilling in a child the word of God. And when Paul gets there, Paul takes Timothy because Paul says, everybody I talk to about him says he's a good guy. Are you listening? And here's what everybody says. And you think I'm passionate about this? You better believe this. Here's what everybody says. Well, it isn't simple. You just can't understand the Bible. Listen, the problem isn't that we don't understand it. The problem is we don't read it. That's why we don't understand. We don't read it. Well, no, you're not going to understand it if you're not going to read it. I need to take some medicine. Wait a minute. Simplicity. Simplicity. Listen, you're reading the Bible. If you come across something you don't understand, here's what you do. Keep reading. Keep reading. Number two. I hope you're writing this down. Number two, the second thing that Paul tells us and Timothy about the Bible is you can know it. You can know it. Yes. Look at verse 15. I'm not pulling this stuff out of the air. I want you to see it's coming right out of the verse 15. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture. Now here's what I'm telling you. The Bible is knowable. The Bible is knowable. Now, whole 2 Timothy 3, we're coming right back. I want you to go over to John chapter 8. We're going to look at a statement that Jesus made, and we're going to put some meat on the bone here. John chapter 8, verse 32. You there? Nobody's there. All right. John 8, 32, here's what Jesus said. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now I want you to look at that verse. Here's what that verse says. Number one, there is a body of information known as the truth. You shall know the truth. So that means there's truth. That means there is a body of information that's truth. You understand what I just said? Look at the verse. Second thing the verse says is this. It says that all of us are under a bondage that only the truth can free us from. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free. Set you free from what? From the bondage you're under. So here is a body of information known as the truth. All of us are under a bondage. That bondage is sin. All of us are under a bondage that only this body of information of truth can free us from. If you're not getting it, you need to speak up right now. Sister Jacobs, you look like you have something to say. No, you got it? Okay, listen to me. So here is this body of information known as the truth. We are under the bondage of sin, and only this body of information, the truth, can free us from it. Look at the verse. The third thing he says is that freedom can only come from knowing that truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There is truth. Only this truth will free me from sin, but it will only free me from sin when I know it. Listen, do you really think that God would go through everything he went through to save us from our sin and then give us a book that's too difficult for us to find out? The simplicity of the scripture. Listen to me. The Bible is knowable. You can know it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You need to write this down. If you mark in your Bible, mark in your Bible. Let's start at verse 2. Listen to what Paul tells the Ephesians. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. He's talking about the gospel. Verse 3. How that by revelation he, that is God, made known to me, that is Paul, the mystery, as I have written briefly to you. And in other words, Paul says, God has revealed the gospel to me. God has given me revelation, and now I am giving that revelation to you. Does everybody understand? So look what he says. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. Now here it is. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says, God has given me revelation, the gospel of Christ, how it fits together and what you have to do. Paul says, I've written it to you. Paul says, if you read it, what? You'll understand it. If you read it, you will understand it. It's knowable. Again, the problem is that we don't understand it. The problem is we don't read it. Or when we get ready to read it, first place we'll go is Revelation. Well, let me work here. There was this beast that come out of the sea, and then there was this other beast that come from the earth, and this sea beast messed around with this earth beast. Don't start there. Here's where you should start. Number 3. I don't have time. Number 3. Paul tells Timothy. He talks to him about the simplicity of the Bible. He talks to him about the fact that you can know the Bible. Number 3. This is so important. Paul tells Timothy that the Bible is holy scripture. It is holy scripture. I think this is our biggest pitfall. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 15. And from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures. Listen to me. The word scripture means a document of divine origin. And in other words, it's from God. Now, first rule in Bible study is that a word means in the Bible what it means in the context it's in. And the same word may have different meanings according to whatever the context says. But the word scripture, every single time it's used without exception, the word scripture is used in having reference to a document that has come from God. It is a document that has come from God. Listen, the reason so many trip and stumble is because they haven't settled that in their heart. They haven't settled that. Listen to me. The Bible isn't just ink on paper. The Bible is God talking to me. The Bible is God revealing his mind in written form to me. A guy called me last week and he said, look, I'm studying with these people and we're going over what the Bible says and they just won't. Can you help me? I said, yeah. I can help you. I said, this is going to be easy. Before I talk to anybody about the Bible, anybody, two questions. Do you believe the Bible? Question number two. When I tell you what it says, will you do it? If the answer to either one of those questions is no, we got nothing to talk about. How are we going to have a Bible study with somebody who either doesn't believe the Bible or doesn't want to do what it says? If we have, listen, any further conversation we have, you're wasting your time, I'm wasting my time, and we're wasting our time. The Bible is from God. And this is where we get messed up. We get messed up because we're thinking, well, you know, men got together and wrote this. No. Verse 16, the next verse says that all scripture is given by inspiration. The word inspiration means God breathed. God breathed this word out to man. And this is where we get messed up. Paul tells Timothy, listen, he talks to him about the simplicity of the scripture. He talks to Timothy about the fact that the scripture can be known. It's knowable. It's knowable. You say, but there's hard parts in it. Yes, there is. And I'm going to address that at the end. Remind me. Number four, we got to keep going. Number four, Paul tells Timothy that the Bible is powerful. It's powerful. Look again at verse 15, what he says. He says that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, the Bible has the power to impart God's wisdom to you. Now, write this down. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, James talks about wisdom. And James says there's two types of wisdom. There is a wisdom that is earthly wisdom. And he describes what that wisdom is. And then he says, but this is not a wisdom that is from God. And then he says, but heavenly wisdom is, and then he gives the traits of heavenly wisdom. Listen to me. Earthly wisdom is basically, I'm going to get you for you get me. I'm going to get what you've got for you can take what I've got. James 3, 13 through 18 is right there. But heavenly wisdom is different. When you understand the Bible is from God, God breathed this out into man. And when you're reading it, you're reading the mind of God and what his will is. And in that scripture, it has the power to impart to us this wisdom that is from God. Number five, the fifth thing that Paul tells Timothy and us about the Bible is that it's soul saving. It's soul saving. Look at verse 15 again. The Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise for salvation that is through Christ Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 10, Paul goes to the household of Cornelius, and there's this big deal. Cornelius has a vision, and he sends to Joppa for Paul, and Paul is up on the roof having this dream about food. Paul wasn't the last preacher who ever dreamed about food, but he was having this dream about food. So anyway, they finally get together, and the Gentiles are converted. Peter, am I saying Paul? Yeah. All right, Peter. So they finally get together, and the Gentiles are converted. So in Acts chapter 11, Paul has to go back to the city of Jerusalem and explain to the Jews that now the Gentiles are in. I want you to look at something. In Acts chapter 11, when Paul explains that to them, Acts 11 and verse 14, here's how Paul explained it to them. Paul says, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. Now here's what I want you to understand. When the Bible was taught, souls were saved. When the Bible was taught, souls were saved. Listen, what is the scripture? The scripture saves souls. In Luke chapter 8 and in verse 11, the Bible says that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Now, watch this carefully. We're gonna plant a garden, but we got to plant it quick. So over here, we're going to have a row of tomatoes. Linda, these are tomatoes. Remember that. Right here, we're going to have a row of cucumbers. Beverly, these are cucumbers. And over here, closer to Jamaica, right here, we're going to have a row of beans. Okay, so what do we got over here? We got tomatoes, cucumbers, and beans. Okay, so we do all we got to do, and now we're going to get the harvest. What's here? Tomato. So we come over here to get the tomatoes, and it's watermelon. Listen, that can't ever be. Can't ever be. So we come right here. What was right here? Cucumbers. It's corn. Head high. It can't be. Ever. So we come over here and it's beans and it's something else. Give me something. Potatoes. Okay, all right, it's potatoes. It can't be. It can't ever be. You know why? Because a seed can only produce of its own kind. If you plant tomato seeds, it has to be tomatoes, because a seed will only produce of its own kind. If you plant cucumbers, it will only be cucumbers, because a seed can only produce of its own kind. Listen to me. This is God's seed. When you plant this seed in an honest heart, it will only produce one thing. And what it will produce tonight is exactly the same thing it produced 2,000 years ago. It will produce a Christian. See, now how do you get that? Because after Cornelius was converted and the Gentiles were grafted into the church, it then says in verse 26 that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. In the first century, this book made Christians. Tonight, preaching makes them anything. They're anything, then they're everything. But that's not the way it is. You understand what I'm telling you? It's soul saving. It's soul saving. Now, you got to give me a couple more minutes. Now, because I know what you're thinking. You know, you say, okay, the simplicity of the scripture, and it can be knowable, but man, I'm telling you, there's spots there that are hard. Listen to me. It is. So, listen, Romans 1 through 11, some of that is like, okay. The hardest book in the Bible isn't Romans, though, and it is a Revelation. To me, the hardest book in the Bible is the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. I took a minor prophets class, and we spent 2/3 of the class just in Zechariah, because I'm like, what is this guy talking about? Now, quickly, you got to give me a minute. Quickly, turn to 2 Peter, I think it's chapter 3. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. This will help you. Peter is writing, and now Peter is talking about Paul's writings. Look at verse 15. 2 Peter 3, look at verse 15. And consider that the longsuffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. Verse 16. And also in all of his epistles, speaking of these things, which are some things hard to understand. Now, here is Peter living as a contemporary with Paul, and Peter is saying, now, some of the things that Paul wrote, they're hard to understand. So I'm not about to stand here 2,000 years later and say, yeah, we got this easy. So how do you deal with it? You keep reading. If you're reading something and if you get stuck, keep reading. You'll be amazed how many times you can get unstuck if you'll just keep reading. Okay, what's going to follow this? And let me tell you what will cure 50% of you not understanding where you're a passage where you're at. Read it in several different translations. If you will read that passage, you get stuck. And don't stop. Keep going, okay? You know what happened before it. Here's the stuck part. Now find out what happened after. And if you're still stuck, read it from a couple of other translations. I'm telling you, if you will read the scripture from different translations, 50% of the stuff that you get stuck at and don't understand, you will understand. Now, let me say this. I'm not getting paid by the hour, right? So let me say this, then we're going. This is as simple as I can put this. The Bible is an essential for the new year. Listen to me carefully. Without this, you're not gonna make it. That's how essential this is. You're not gonna make it without this. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What that verse literally is translated, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every utterance of God. You will have this or you won't make it. Your life will get flipped upside down and you won't know how to get it flipped right side back up. Okay? We should come back next week and finish this, but we're not. We're going to another essential. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this study. We thank you for your word, that you've written it so that we can know and so that we can understand. May our study tonight be of such that it increases our faith. Bless us as we leave this place. Watch over, protect us from wrong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.